The excellent Jim Callis is a senior writer at MLB.com. Also for MLBPipeline.com, you can follow him on Twitter at JimCallisMLB. His specialty, his forte, is the draft. It is prospects, and he's kind enough to join us now on Brady and Walker and Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Sportsnet 360. Jim, a great fan of your work. Thanks for making time on a busy, busy day today.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate all the kind words. Thanks.
Happy to, yeah. I mean, where should we double back to? Why don't we double back to the Troy Tulowitzki, as excited as people are, seemed like yesterday's news or 3 days ago's news yesterday with
this
the acquisition.
Like 3 months ago because there's been so many trades.
Yeah, it's like that 8 years ago when they made the Josh Donaldson deal. It's weird how it's happened here in Toronto. We're not always used to this. Tell me first about the giving up of Hoffman in the Tulowitzki deal. There's no doubt Alex Anthopoulos told me yesterday he cringed when he had to do it. He's going to cringe when he watches future starts. He had risen up the ranks. He was already thought of as having a great future, but had risen up the ranks this year, hadn't he?
He had. I think he was the best starting pitching prospect in the Jays system when they traded him. I mean, we're talking about a guy that had he not had Tommy John surgery last May, never would have been available for the Blue Jays with the 9th overall pick in the draft. And he would have been a candidate to go number one. He might be a Cub right now instead of Kyle Schwarber. And I think the really impressive thing is that Hoffman came back on the mound so quickly and pretty much picked where he left off, not missing as many bats as you would have thought. You know, I don't think his command is super sharp. But, you know, upper 90s fastball, you know, sharp breaking stuff, throwing strikes, it's all there. So, I mean, he showed you everything you were hoping for.
It's Jim Callis joining us, senior writer at MLB.com. It feels like there has been some fluctuation. At one point, Sanchez was a lower prospect than Daniel Norris. Daniel Norris now seems to be, given that he's going to start in Baltimore for the Tigers on Sunday. This happens sometimes, and you always got to give up to get. But had the organization soured is too strong a word, but had they seen things they didn't necessarily like about Daniel Norris and how he was pitching?
No, I don't think that's what it was. I think it's just a case that they had a chance to get David Price, and David Price is what you're hoping Daniel Norris can be. I personally like Daniel Norris more than I like Aaron Sanchez.
Sanchez.
I think Sanchez has a little bit stronger arm, but I think he wanted to be in a reliever in the long run. I've never been impressed with his control and command. That's why Norris was in AAA working on it. But, I mean, Norris, to me, is a guy who could have 3-plus pitches as a lefty. You know, fastball, slider, changeup, really like him a lot.
It looked like Baseball Prospectus, I should say, had ranked the Blue Jays 10th as a farm system coming into this spring. In Dunedin, it's going to that ranking will drop. Some of the rankings aren't all about drafting. How good a drafter has Alex Anthopoulos been in your estimation over the last 6 years?
Okay. I mean, they've had guys they haven't signed, you know, like Phil Bickford and Tyler Beatty, who went on to become first round picks, but they've done okay. I think if you were stacking them up, and I have not stacked up all 30 teams, I mean, I think because of the guys they haven't signed, they probably would factor in, you know, I wouldn't think any better than average, but, you know, they've had, I mean, Anthony Alford's a pick who looks like he's going to pay off. Sean Reed Foley looks like he's going to pay off. You know, they've traded guys, so you don't see them in the farm system now, but, they've certainly been aggressive in the draft. I think that's what stands out as much as anything.
It's happened in the, I would say it's happened in the NHL, where in Europe, there aren't many secrets anymore. Everybody scouts the same countries. Everybody sees the same players. The World Juniors, the Under-18s, they're real showcase events. Would you say that's the same with where all 30 Major League Baseball teams are at? Are there still teams trying to, I suppose for lack of a better term, Jim, do this on the cheap that just won't put in to send guys out on the road, that just won't do the video work and the internet work that other teams will do?
No, I think everybody works pretty hard. I mean, you now have a system, you know, with the new CBA where you're limited, you know, on what you can spend on the draft, where in the past you could spend whatever you wanted. So it's actually created more parity because the teams that were ultra-aggressive, you know, the Pirates, you know, now that they're winning especially, getting lower picks, can't be as aggressive as they were. The Nationals can't be as aggressive as they were. The Royals can't be as aggressive as they were. But also pulls up the teams that weren't spending on the draft at all, like the White Sox and Mets are now spending their full allotment, so it kind of brings everybody more back to the, I guess, the middle of the pack. And, you know, the fact remains, you know, this hasn't changed even under the new system. The draft is the most cost-effective way to build a team. It's a lot cheaper than going out and signing free agents or scrambling to make trades. And if you want to go the trade route, it's certainly the best way to get ammunition. You have to put the time and the money and the effort into the draft, or it's going to come back and haunt your team.
Are there teams right now that you're shocked? Maybe it's beneath the surface to some extent so far, and we'll know in a few hours. that haven't been more active, that you expect to be more aggressive? I'd list the Dodgers. If they're in on David Price with the Blue Jays, surely it's not David Price or nobody. They want to bolster their starting pitching some way, somehow.
Yeah, although they did make that big 13-team trade where they somehow managed to basically give up a $62 million Cuban defector as the key guy they gave up and a decent prospect, and got, you know, two starters, a Matt Latos and Alex Wood, two bullpen guys in Johnson and Avalon, and the best prospect in the deal, Jose Peraza. They've done pretty good. I think the team that everybody's really waiting on is the Padres. Are they going to be buyers? Are they going to be sellers? Looks like there's going to be some major trades coming from the Padres. You know, we'll see. There's rumors of a three-team Cubs-Red Sox deal that may or may not happen. But I think the Padres are the team that has not done anything yet that will probably make some noise. We only have about 2 hours till the deadline, right?
Yeah, it's coming right away. Is there a move for the Yankees to make? They have no interest in dealing their best pitcher at AAA, nor should they. But is there a move that they could make that kind of counters or blocks some of what the Jays are doing, some of what the Orioles may still do?
We'll have to see. It's one thing to say, well, we'd love to be players for, say, Craig Kimbrell or Justin Upton or whoever, but we don't want to give up our best prospects. Maybe that tune will change. Michael Pineda got hurt. They need starters. I personally would call Luis Severino up and put him in the rotation. We'll see. It's kind of like the draft signing deadline. Sometimes you get both sides to dig in, and one side gives as it gets closer to the deadline, and we'll know in the next couple hours.